Welcome to Apologetics Live. We're here to answer your questions and challenges about God and the Bible. Meet your hosts from Striving for Eternity Ministries, Andrew Rappaport, Dr. Anthony Silvestro, and Pastor Justin Pierce.
All right, we are live tonight. Just want to welcome everybody to another exciting, adventurous discussion in the apologetics realm with Apologetics Live. And we got Brother Anthony Silvestro has shown
Hello.
Up.
Hello. How are you doing? This is the first time we've been on a show together in a while.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of shows, just kind of like, what do you call it? Ships in the wind or ships crossing in the wind, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a while. One thing I do have to point out is that we accidentally have deleted the video clip, the intro clip that has all three of us as the intro partners. And it just says, you know, the older one, and we got to get that fixed
because that we do. Yeah, I noticed that.
That's not gonna work. It's Andrew, Anthony, and Justin, and then also we also have another brother that he shows up every once in a while. You guys don't know him, and I want to introduce you guys to this guy. He's the crocodile hunter. I mean, alligator hunter. Is that what that is in the back?
Yeah, that is an alligator. Yes,
that is an alligator. This is deer. Dear brother Justin Peters, my twin brother, you know, he's you're looking good, brother.
Thank you. Y'all too. In a not weird way.
What is it you've been doing here lately? There was something that you just finished up doing. I can't remember what it was. It's like some small conference, like 100 people or so.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a few folks that showed up to the Truth Matters conference that was held at the Ark Encounter, hosted by Grace to You, and of course the Ark, Answers in Genesis, and
fabulous.
Yeah, it was a good time. It really was. It's very encouraging feedback from folks. Good few days of fellowship, good mixture of presentations, and I enjoyed it. It was good.
Hey, I'll tell you, I didn't know what to expect out of this conference. It was kind of all over the board in terms of it was great. But there wasn't like I think the central theme was supposed to be social justice, but there was a lot of topics talked about. It was excellent though.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was a good mixture, I guess, and broad. And yeah, I think that kind of the overall theme was social justice, but they asked me to speak on mysticism. And so I had a little social justice thrown in there, because to come to the conclusion of social justice from scripture, you've got to have a mystical hermeneutic to do that.
While you guys have been gone and doing conferences and whatnot, Josiah and I have been kind of holding down the fort talking about the critical race theory and the social justice train, and how that, you know, the transgender LGBTQ and all of the indoctrination stuff going on from the Marxist background. And this guy, he's holding a book up. He's reading a book. So Josiah, we've been trying to hold that down, talking about, you know, just the social justice and the critical race theory and stuff. So, you know, we've got, and we actually discovered we probably have enough for another video to do on that, you know, talking about the indoctrination going on. You know, we just had, everybody heard, we had a big shootout thing go on down in Texas, and everybody's wanting to run around claiming, you know, that they know the answer to what happened, and they know how that they can fix this and that. Then, you know, the problem is it's the deceitful heart of man. You have a person that's completely denied God, who's lived in a world of denying God, who's being taught to deny God. There is no reason for living. He's bought into the whole indoctrination of his gender identity, his sexual identity, his worth, his value. And he's allowed himself to become demented. And we're going to find out that just like everyone else, he's going to be used as a pawn in the political agenda. And it's not going to end there. We're going to see these things happening over and over again as the world, you know, seeks to destroy itself. And so, but you think how many people died so far in that?
21, I think.
How many? 21 so far?
21, I think.
How many people die in abortion every day?
You know, about 3,500.
And so one's a tragedy, and the other's not. You know, it's like, you know, one's a civil right now, and you know, live in a really messed up world.
It's funny. It's funny you talk about that. One of the local news stations in our area had put out a story regarding the missing baby formula. Right, moms trying to find baby formula can't find it, and their babies are going to starve. And so, of course, I, with a snarkiness I like to have at times, I wrote a comment underneath the article that basically said, "Hey, maybe we should go ask the liberals where all our baby formula is at, because we're finding it in Ukraine and also at our borders."
Yep.
To which somebody responds and says, you know, how dare you not appreciate life and not care about those people coming across the border. I don't remember what she phrased it. It wasn't undocumented illegals, like we would call them, but she phrased it a certain way. And to which I said, do you believe in abortion? And guess what her answer is?
Of course.
Of course. Right. She believes in the freedom of choice for women. Well, then you don't actually care about life, do you? So, but these are always the contradictions we see in a worldview that is not God, right? Outside of a biblical scope, a biblical understanding, there's always contradictions in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing I want to point out here is, you know, bondservant Melissa, she said that somebody's computer kept messing up at this conference, and we just finished talking about this a minute ago. What was it that you had? What happened? You got to tell us what happened.
Really. Yeah, so I'm about, I don't know, 10 or 12 minutes into my presentation, and I was clicking the down arrow key for my next little graphic to pop up, and it wasn't popping up. And I thought, what in the world's going on? And then all of a sudden, I see this message on my Mac says, your computer is shutting down or restarting due to a problem or something. And it just there it goes. And I mean, out of the blue, no warning. And I switched from a PC to a Mac for this very reason. Go to a Mac, they said. They won't do that, they said. They never have problems, they said.
They don't.
Except for when you're in the middle of one of the biggest conferences you've ever done.
You know? I know. One of the biggest conferences I've ever done. And I'm in the middle of my presentation of the Truth Matters conference with John MacArthur sitting on the front row. My Mac just said, okay, we're done.
Oh, wow.
And just shuts down. And
I wonder if you just got a lemon, Justin. Because remember, we had problems with your computer at my church when we did the conference together last September. We had problems with your computer at Pastor Casey's church last May when we did a conference together in Andrew.
Yeah, I remember that.
This is a new one. This is a new laptop.
Another new one? Oh, wow.
There's a Mac attack going after you. That's what it is.
Mac attack. I don't know. If I had a little bit of a charismatic bent, I'd say it was some demons running around.
It's the gremlins. That's what it is. The gremlins. Did you get to do anything for them? You know, to bide the time. You know, do some pop some wheelies or do anything like that. You know.
Yeah, while I was waiting on it, not knowing if this thing was going to start back up or not, I was just like, well, I don't know any card tricks, so
maybe Todd Bentley can drop kick it into a wall for you. I mean, that would heal it, right?
Or right. What's that guy's name that did the kick in the baby thing? What was that or claimed?
Sid Roth
talked about.
But then Todd White used to bring up the story a bunch of times. I'm sorry, Todd Bentley brought up the story a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Yeah, Todd Bentley learned what he does now from Smith Wigglesworth.
Smith Wigglesworth. That's the name.
Smith Wigglesworth. Yeah.
It was in my mind and just about to come out of my mouth when you said it.
Yeah,
and then of course Drew Vanita. He had to jump in and steal our thunder because he had to write it down because he was waiting for us to say it before he typed it in.
Drew's right. It was Smith Wigglesworth was a British, well, I think he was originally from Wales, but faith healer in the first half of the 20th century. So like, you know, 1920s and 30s. And he was known for kicking and punching people. He claimed to be able to see the demon. If you have cancer, you got the demon of cancer attached to you, demon of arthritis, demon of, you know, whatever. And the only way to dislodge said demon, of course, is to kick it off of people, punch it off of people. Just like well, we
that's,
see
that's, Jesus. So that's off. What Jesus did to demoniacs.
Right, exactly like you did. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to think about it, though. That's a perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about. Because if you think about people that teach false teaching and false doctrine or adhere to different things that
hey, we got
to
hold up before we jump into that. Justin, there's a question that came to me that we have to address first.
Okay, go ahead.
Before we jump into all this.
See, I had a perfect segue.
It was a perfect setup and I had to ruin it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I messed it all up. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I want to give just a moment of background here is there was a post that somebody put out, maybe 5 days ago that said, if sending Christian kids into public schools to be little missionaries worked, it would have worked.
I saw that.
Because that's the common thing that Christians will say, that my kids are going to go be salt and light in the public schools, or they're little missionaries. This is their mission field, which is absolute nonsense.
No.
And so we all know that kids. Well, let me read my post that I reposted it and put this out there. I said, sending Christian kids to public school in many Christian schools is like sending a baby sheep into a pack of starving wolves. Not to mention the majority of Christian parents who send their kids to public school would get schooled by Christian cults and agnostics and atheists themselves. The church overall is way underprepared to give an apologetic and evangelize the world, yet expect their even more unprepared kids to do so in a hostile, God-hating public school environment. So that was my post. Got a lot of attention, even though I'm like terribly shadow banned and have been since like last September. When I started posting against homosexuality and transgenderism pretty regularly. But I bring all this up because I got a very sincere post from someone, private Facebook message, somebody I know who sent this to me. And here's the post that this person, female, would like answered from us tonight. So she said this, I saw your post on Christians sending kids to public schools, which actually I totally agree with. So she agrees with the post. I would love to homeschool and think it's completely better. I do ask, what about people like me where I am Christian? My husband is not, and he doesn't currently live with us because he is an alcoholic and doesn't want to stop doing all these things. I work full time, so I cannot homeschool or afford Christian school. I do study and reading with my kids every day. I'm honest about the things that are trying to be indoctrinated and tell the truth about what God says. We are a part of and we are also a part of a biblical local church. What else would you suggest me to do? So this is somebody who is in a situation that is in a really difficult situation.
Yeah.
Now, this is not somebody who, look, there's plenty of people that we've talked to, we've come across who husband and wife both work and they can afford a number of nice things in life that, look, we would all like to have. But the reality is they often are doing this at the expense of their children, where they're both working, not because they need to make ends meet, but because they want the extras in life. Whereas maybe the wife should not work, stay home and raise the children the way she's called to do and for the father to provide and then also to pour into the children at home. So we're not talking about that situation, right? We're talking about one where essentially single mom. So what does she do? What can she do to try to battle against what she's dealing with their kids in public school?
Well, I'm going to jump in and weigh in on this. I've got four kids that have been through Christian school. I've never had my kids in private or public school. I've never done it. I refuse to do it. Let me just weigh in as a parent who has the children, and it's been my conviction to never have them in public school. So we started out at a Christian school and it ended up being really bad. We had people that were, you know, the financial overseers that were doing bad stuff. They were stealing money, and there were women at the school that were involving themselves with the teenage boys. When I took it to the administration, they knew about it and were covering it up. So those, you know, sinners sin and they're going to infiltrate, you know, anywhere you go. So I'm not saying that every single association that you're going to get involved with, you know, when a public or private school is going to be a good thing. Okay. So you have to be very careful about where you send your kids. So that's first thing. But secondly, when we decided, okay, we've had enough, we're strictly going homeschool. We started looking into different programs. You know, Anthony and I, we talked about this a lot, and we started with Monarch, AOC, I believe it is. And I'll pull it up and find it. And then my children started 2 years ago going full time to going through the Monarch program. It is a computer based program. All of the material is on the computer. You can do all the stuff they have right on the computer. Christian base. It's a incredible program, and my kids have completely excelled at it. They've excelled at it. And another suggestion I want to ask, would add too, is if you decide to go down any of these routes, talk to your pastor, talk to your church, and ask them if they can help, because I'd be surprised if they don't have some type of fund where they could actually help you, or they couldn't come up with a fund to help in this situation, given your situation there, whatever you guys got.
Yeah. I think that's a great starting point. And I'll throw a couple comments up here. KT and Jesus says there may be another family who would help, or a co-op. So maybe there's another church family that people you're close with, you trust, that are already homeschooling their kids. And maybe you could pay them a little bit to homeschool your child as well. That's certainly a possibility. Drew, Vanita, he might be winning comments of the day today. If we keep putting him up here, but is there another family in the local church that's homeschooling, or they might be able to help their kids? Same thing here. Here's Stephanie Link, who says many kids did private school and scholarships, only paid $300 for two kids. So that might be an idea to check the Christian schools in the area to see if they have hardship cases or scholarships that are available. Those are all great thoughts. And then before we get to Justin Peters and Josiah, Bond Servant for Jesus says, what about when you can't teach a subject like advanced math? Well, what Justin and I have talked about, Justin Pierce and I have talked about in the past, is that there's great, great Christian homeschooling programs out there. For the first 6 years or so for Anthony, we used Abeka. Granted, it's from Pensacola Christian. You have to deal with the fact that it's KJV only, deal with the fact that it's going to be slightly Arminian, although that really doesn't come out in their curriculum. And they're slightly legalistic, which doesn't really come out in their curriculum either, but just to know that's the background. But a very good program early on. And then we have switched since then to Bob Jones, which is considered one of the best all-around homeschooling programs that are out there, both in the sciences and the English side of things. What's unique about these two programs is that you can either do it live on the computer, like Justin's Monarch, in class, but online in class, and ask live questions. But you also have the option with certain programs like Abeka at early ages and Bob Jones later on, where you can get the videos, DVDs ahead of time. So you can pop the DVD in, and it's if the teacher is teaching your child while sitting right there. And so even if you aren't good in some of the advanced subjects, they already have the videos. They have all the workbooks. They have all the tests, quizzes, all the answer keys. It is really easy for a parent to follow to be able to do all this stuff. And I promise you, whatever you do in homeschooling will be far superior what you will get in any even college prep courses in high school. So it is absolutely excellent. And these aren't just these aren't the only programs. There's a boatload of them out there, and they're actually very reasonably priced. So I just wanted to throw that out there and then open it up to Josiah and Justin.
You want to go ahead, Justin?
Oh, I don't know really what else I can contribute to that, all other than just kind of a general. I'm all for homeschooling. I think the public schools are just an absolute wasteland. Back when I was in public school, I mean, I got a pretty good education. A lot of my teachers went to my church, but it's just a different world. It's a different world today. But Drew has a good idea there. His comment, another family in her local church that might be able to help. But
go ahead. Yeah. It's a really sad situation. My heart goes out to her. She feels probably abandoned and alone from her husband. So my heart really breaks for her in her situation. And yeah, co-opting is an option if you have a family in the church you can trust. I know a lot of co-op families in our area that are based out of churches. And the best thing about any kind of private schooling or homeschooling, you want to be making sure your kids get the gospel every day, all the time. Just have it poured into them so that maybe they'll repent and trust in Jesus. That's one of the big things about homeschooling, is you're trying to win your kids to Christ.
Yep. Yeah. Amen to that. You know, one thing that I want to make sure that is put out there too, is when a child is in public school, they are in school for 7 to 8 hours a day, and they're being indoctrinated the entire time, right? That's independent of if they come home and watch secular TV, secular movies, commercials, magazines, right? They're getting indoctrinated everywhere. Mm-hmm. You go to the shopping mall and walk around, and you see worldly stuff everywhere. It's essentially soft pornography in a lot of windows in shopping malls. So we're inundated with this everywhere, and public schools are the worst. Only watch the news in the last several months, and you recognize how evil it has become inside the schools. And it's been doing this for a long time. We just are finding out about it now. Actually, probably the only good thing about COVID is that it exposed parents to what was being taught to their students when they were watching those online screens during that time. It opened up a lot. But having said all that, what are some resources you guys recommend? Let's say she can't do any of the suggestions we gave, at least right now. What are things that she can do? Some of the things that I really enjoy is Paul Washer's workbooks, I think, are very simple, easy to do. He's got a number of them that can be done in discipling your kids. I absolutely love those. When Anthony was a lot younger, I really liked the Sinclair Ferguson books. It was like the big book of questions and answers or something. He has several of those. Yeah. Those were really good early on. Answers in Genesis, also some good kids books. After that, what else do you guys recommend for resources that could be really helpful?
Well, with the Monarch, and I've been saying Monarch a lot because, you know, we've already talked about the Abeka program and things like that. Those are really good homeschool programs. You can get books. In fact, you can get those books used from anywhere, just almost for free. A lot of churches, a lot of homeschool parents will give away those books to churches. So there is that. But you know, like I said, Monarch again, but they have what's called the Ignite Christian Academy. And it's a full online academy. It's accredited, the whole thing. You know, like Anthony was talking about, you don't teach the kids. You send them to school right there, and they're at your house, and they're learning. A biblical curriculum. You know, I mean, my kids are learning Bible. I actually sat with my son, a 15-year-old. He's 15 now, by the way. Birthday was the other day. So my 15-year-old sitting with his Bible and New Testament professor, and he's talking about Way of the Master. I'm going, you're crazy. He's like, yeah, he's going through Way of the Master and stuff, knows Justin Peters. And I'm like, you know, doesn't know you personally, but, you know, knows the ministry and stuff like that. And he's just, you know, he's as giddy as could be. And they were talking, and they're going through several of the books and stuff. And it's just, they really are encouraged to grow. And I think what I love about it the most personally is every time I went to school, anywhere I went to school, you read through about half to three quarters of the book. You learn through that. And then the next year you do half or three quarters of the book. And the next year you're half or three quarters. But so you're not actually learning the entire curriculum. You're just learning a portion of it while the teacher's screaming and yelling and fighting with all the other kids. And it just, you know, it's just a royal rumble amongst trying to teach a couple of nuggets. And this, you go through the entire book. And for every single one of them, every class, everything, the entire book. And these kids, he comes up and he's asking me, hey, Dad, in this quantum trigonometry / physics of the, you know, I'm going, what? And I mean, he's so far over my head on this stuff. I'm just like, you know, he's in ninth grade. I'm man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, while we're talking about this, Israel Wayne just popped in, who I've had a pleasure of meeting not too long ago when I was doing a preaching tour out in Idaho. And then we met again in Florida a couple weeks ago. But Israel is an excellent apologist for anybody who doesn't know him. He's been pigeonholed in the homeschooling movement. He knows homeschooling really, really well. And we are going to get him on a show here in the near future and going to pick his brain for 2 hours on homeschooling. So I'm really excited about that show. But that'll be coming up here soon. So thanks for joining in, Israel.
Well, before we get started, I know that you guys, I'm not going, by the way, but I want to promote this one thing because Anthony's going to forget it. And I want to make sure, since Justin's here, brother, you guys are doing an Israel trip. And Israel 2023israeltour.com. And can you guys talk about this for a minute? You know,
well, there's a Striving for Eternity one with CARM. So Andrew and Matt Slick are leading one. And that one is sold out, but there are spots available for the, what do you call it? For anybody who would drop out, these would be the first ones in. Chances are 10 to 15% will drop out before next year. And those who are in those first, those who are on the wait list will be able to get in. Justin is doing one with his old pastor, Jim Osmond, and a few other people, which I believe that has not been open to the public yet. Okay. If I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yeah.
You're still waiting another week or two to see if any more of Jim's church members are going to go before you open that to the public.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's just a few spots left, and yeah, we'll see if those get filled before we make a big announcement for it. But yeah.
See, really, I would go with you guys. I would go with you guys, but I'm going Doug Bookman, and he's the seminary. They're taking us over there and teaching us for 2 weeks straight, day and night, and taking us in all kinds of little nooks and crannies and stuff. And I'm like, I'm all for it. Oh, wow. I'm so excited. Yeah,
cool. We were going to go on the trip, and my wife said she doesn't want to go out of the country to have somebody shove something up her nose on her way back in. So she's like, I don't want to go to Israel anymore. I'm like, okay, then we won't go.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine.
So Tricia, before, and then Justin's going to jump right into our topic for tonight. How do I send this to my nephew with kids? He needs to see this later after he gets home from work. You can go on to strivingforeternity.com or apologeticslive.com, and it'll take you right to the page, and you'll be able to find the YouTube link on there and be able to send it to whomever you would like to send it to.
Yeah. Send this to everybody. Guys, one thing that I'm going to tell you about before we start, I know we keep on saying before we start, but all of us here are getting banned and shadow banned and blacklisted from having content on Facebook. I can prove it. You go to True Social and you put stuff on there and it just blows up. I mean, people all over the place are seeing it. When you have Christian content that you post on Facebook and even on YouTube, a lot of time this stuff is either outright blocked or I actually posted a thing on Facebook from John MacArthur. Sermon, just a clip from him, and I was told it was offensive, took it down, and threatened me to kick me completely off of Facebook if I did it again. So I had to appeal it, but you know, that's what's going on. So share this stuff, please. You know.
Yep, that's right. Okay, Justin, you got a big topic for tonight, and I got to be honest with you, I run into people all the time who love this series, who know nothing about it. And so I am really excited. When I saw you were going to do this show, like I'm all hyped up. I've got all my own research here ready to go as well, but I'm really looking forward to this. So
tonight for tonight only, and then probably next week and the week after, constantly more and more and more, we're going to be talking about the chosen creator, Dallas Jenkins. He clarifies, this is his definitive declaration to clarify his views on the question, are Mormons Christians? And he actually said that in, I think I've counted like 7 or 8 different interviews where he's done that. And he's actually has said it over and over again, but he keeps saying, I didn't really say it that way. Let's nuance it. So I pulled up this article from the Christian Post, And because I want to give credit where credit's due, I don't usually promote the Christian Post because there's not much Christian about it. But they're actually got a few things in here we're going to talk about. So Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen, he has been asked many times about the Mormons. And they, and as I recall, guys, they don't like being called Mormons anymore, right? Is that right? They want to be called
They don't. 3 years ago, their prophet got a new vision, and they're no longer to be called Mormons. So now it's just the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
A new vision.
A new vision. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that first.
Yeah, you ought to put that in one of your future video clips, Justin.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I should. You're right.
Well, but why is it? I mean, you said the words. Why is it that somebody can say they had a new vision and it's a definitive statement for all the Mormon church? The reason is because they get direct revelation. The president gets direct revelation as if God was speaking through him.
Yeah. Well, that's what they believe. That's right.
Yeah. So this is a continuationist idea that you have, you know, non-cessationist, you have the God of Mormonism, and now they say, well, you can't say we're Mormons anymore. Well, the reason for it is because all the baggage with Mormonism. So they say, oh, well, we got to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. So we're a church, just like you Christians are part of the Christian church. We're Christians too, just like you're part of the Christian church.
Yeah, and let's be really clear as we walk into this, right? Is that 20 years ago, Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and others never claimed to be Christian, right? They claimed to be what they were.
Yep.
That's right.
But it's only been in recent times as part of their heavy evangelistic mindset to bring people into their cults that they have been calling themselves Christians to try to pick off the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. So,
and that's important because when you're talking about The Chosen, let me ask you guys, have you guys watched any of the shows?
No, I refuse to. I know all the stuff in the background, so I'm not going to give them any of my money. It'd be like listening to Hillsong, and I already had to listen to Justin Peters just go off about anybody listening to Hillsong or.
Well, here's the difference.
I actually did watch them.
Well, Josiah and I talked about this, and we've been doing as much research on it as we can. And here's the difference. You know what appeals to The Chosen that didn't appeal to Hillsong? They know that you and me and others are going to be studying the scripture, looking at the Bible, and comparing it. And so they don't have outright blatant Mormon teaching and flaws in it. That's not the purpose of The Chosen.
Right.
That's not the purpose. The purpose is to get you comfortable with the LDS church and to go to their website, because who is it that starts the support for them? An LDS ministry.
Yep.
They are trying to use this as a seedbed to get you to come into the church to understand more doctrine, to allow that they actually have a website, and I can't find it, but they actually have a website where you can come off of The Chosen website. You can go on to the LDS and you can sign up to have some of their elders come and talk to you and do a Bible study with you.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not fishing, I don't know what is, you know?
So here's the question though. Let's be fair about this, right? And listen to some of Dallas's words, which by the way, are really painful. I watched enough of his videos today and my ears want to bleed.
Now I've got, I can pull this I'm, up. I'm going to listen.
Yeah. The purpose of communication is to speak with clarity, right? I mean, well, for somebody to understand what I'm telling them, I need to make sure they understand what I actually believe and what I'm trying to communicate. Psalm 119, 130, this is about God. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple, right? God's word is meant to be clear to us in our understanding, starting with a gospel first and foremost. And so us being made in the image of God, and when we claim to be Christians, as Dallas Jenkins does, You are to speak with clarity.
That's right.
Gospel, oh, wait. Clarity.
No. You mean the word nuance. You mean nuance. Sorry.
Yeah, right. I mean nuanced. Yeah. Let me nuance the gospel for you. The nuance is that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. It is not by works lest you may boast, right? I mean, this is clarity when we speak.
So when we finish this, and we're not going to listen to 16 minutes. We're just a few minutes.
Please don't.
We won't. We're just so that you understand what he's saying. When we're finished, I want to ask each of you a question, and I want to hear how you're supposed to answer. Are you willing to answer it? Okay, sure. Here we go.
Hey there, it's Dallas, and I was hoping that I wouldn't have to do this, but I think because of the growth in awareness of the show around the world, there has also been a significant increase in the number of articles written about it, the number of videos posted, the number of posts done on social media, comments on social media, and there has been an increased amount of attention given, not only to the show itself lately, but to a comment that I made several years ago that I probably need to add a little clarification to. And this is what we kind of call the LDS issue, the LDS question when it comes to the Chosen. And the reason that I want to give this statement or this comment, and I have it be my final comment on the matter, because I've given dozens and dozens of comments about it that seem to be unfortunately ignored by several people. But it's because I do believe that it's healthy for there to be some level of clarity for people who are wondering about it, because it's not my own personal defensiveness that I care about. I don't feel the need to defend myself, but I've had multiple friends, multiple viewers of the show reach out and say, is this true? And are you aware that this is out there? And did you say this? And because of the fact that almost 100% of the people who have commented about this have actually misquoted me, or at the very least, gotten it wrong in terms of what I meant and what clarity that I've given, I feel like I probably should give you a little bit of clarity, because I do think words matter and I do think topics like this are important. So let's just start with the central question. Is it true that I said, which is what you've seen in some headlines or seen in some titles of videos, Dallas Jenkins says, quote, and then it'll say Mormons or LDS, whatever term that they want to use, Mormons and evangelicals love the same Jesus, or LDS are Christians. Is it true that I said that? And the answer is no, I did not. Now, did it appear like I said that? Could it be easily interpreted as me saying that? I think that's true. I think we can agree that words matter, nuance matters, and I probably could have given more context and clarity than I'm giving now. I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews and written thousands of things about my faith and about the faith of others. And I try very hard to be nuanced. I try very hard to make be cautious and wise and clarifying about every word that I use, but I don't always succeed. And I think it's fair to say that this is one where I don't take back what I said, but I could have given it a little bit more clarity. I think it's also true that it would be a problem if I actually said those words definitively. If I actually made the statement, evangelicals and LDS love the same Jesus, or LDS are Christians, that would be a problem. And here's why. Not because there aren't LDS who are Christians, and not because there aren't LDS and evangelicals who love the same Jesus, but because it would be wrong of me to ever say that any one group believes any one thing altogether. That is just a level of arrogance that I don't have. And it's something that I actually believe has been a problem over the years with many people, is whatever title or label that someone has had assigned to them, or that they've assigned themselves, or whatever group that they're part of, that we oftentimes will label the entire group as having a particular belief or a particular personality. It would be just as dumb for me to say that all LDS are Christians as it would be to say that all evangelicals are Christians, or that all Catholics are Christians, or any other faith or tradition. And it would also be dumb of me to say that none are. That's also a level of arrogance that I don't possess. I happen to be speaking about, and when I've talked about my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I've talked about those LDS folks that I know who love the same Jesus I do, I'm referring to some of the friends that I have who identify as LDS, who I've gotten to know very deeply over the last few years in particular, and have had hundreds of hours of conversations with. And I stand by the statement that those friends of mine that I'm referring to absolutely love the same Jesus that I do.
I almost lost my mind. Hang on just a second. Where am I at? Okay, here we go. Let's get rid of him. I have a question. One question. Are Mormons Christians? Go.
No. Next question.
No.
That's an easy one.
So we have, well, I heard that's an easy one. Come on, no. Give it to me.
Of course.
Okay, so no. We have three. Pastor Jim Osmond, birthday boy.
No.
Happy birthday.
Well, I just now got into the chat. I saw the group chat going on, and I thought, sounds like an interesting subject, so I'll dial in and just listen for a bit.
Okay. Are Mormons Christians based on their doctrine?
No.
Okay, so how much nuance did we have to throw in there? None. You see, what Anthony just said is we need biblical clarity and truth. Dallas Jenkins, why is he saying there's Dallas nuance? Why is he throwing all that out there?
Here's what my belief is, okay? And I don't want him to accuse me of putting words in his mouth, right? Or try to read his heart, as he said in multiple videos that I painstakingly watched today. But you know, when a Christian walks through the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., you're like, that was really cool, right? I mean, why? Because we're getting to see the history of the Bible, right? And all kinds of old manuscripts. And I mean, it is absolutely wonderful. The problem is that by the time you get through the entire museum and you turn around, you're like, hold on a second. A Jehovah's Witness could have walked through this museum and felt the exact same way I did. A Mormon could have walked through this museum and felt the exact same way I did. A Muslim could have walked through this museum and felt exactly the way I did. The museum, as good as it is, I think is absolutely awful that anybody could walk out of the museum and have that type of thought process. Why is it that a Christian family with what's supposed to be a Christian museum doesn't have a real gospel presented anywhere? A gospel that is supposed to offend the right people and is supposed to console the right people. I don't understand that at all. And so my belief with Dallas Jenkins is he has done his best to play this middle ground for the benefit of his own pockets. And again, I can't accuse. It's just that he has made a show that seems to please all kinds of groups that will look at the four gospels and be okay with. I mean, when you look at some of the YouTube comments underneath Dallas Jenkins's videos, there were Buddhists who were writing in saying they now love Jesus as a result of the movie, even though they are still Buddhist. I saw that comment multiple times, and I didn't have to scroll very far. So this is really, really dangerous to me. I'm going to say one last thing. Proverbs 20:17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. I believe that this is the ultimate in deceit.
Andrew, one definitive question. Are Mormons Christians?
No, actually, I just – two people holding up, what do they believe? Actually, we're down here in D.C., and I saw two Mormon missionaries. That means two young girls who are 18, 19 years old talking with this couple. And I politely walked by and informed the couple that Mormonism is a man-made religion that teaches that we could be God. And I turned to the gentleman and said, where's the first time we ever heard that we can become like God? Genesis chapter 3.
That's right.
I said, this is a demonic religion. And the one girl goes, thank you very much. Goodbye. Because they were exchanging phone contact information. So I was like, let me at least warn you. And I feel that I did my due diligence. No. It's a religion of a con man, a known con man.
A known con man. That's right.
Yeah.
It's just one thing about the chosen and Melissa Bondservant for Jesus. She said this exactly right. If you don't know, there are a couple of nuanced things that they did do. And I'm talking about nuance to add to their story. They made Matthew a man with Asperger's. Now, question, did you see anywhere in the scripture where Matthew has a defective issue, a mental handicap or a physical handicap?
I know a Matthew with Asperger's. His last name is Slick. But that's about as close as I think we can come.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, this, I'm not trying to go all IFB here and legalistic, but I'll be honest. Well, gosh. Okay. It's not enough.
Preach.
I want to start using King James English here pretty soon. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus.
Amen.
As we were hinting at, that Mormons believe in Jesus, Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus, Muslims believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the right Jesus. They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. And I'm going to take it a step further, because I'm, whether it's like Son of God movie, that was what, 6-7 years ago, that was a real big thing for a while, and people are all gaga over that. Now it's The Chosen. And I have a fundamental problem with the whole genre of Jesus movies, because it puts an image in your mind of deity that is not accurate. And even with the best of intentions, trying to do the best job to portray Jesus in the best way, it falls woefully short. And it puts it's a violation of the second commandment. I mean, I know there'd probably be some debate about that, but if someone were to come to me, and I'm obviously not an actor, but if someone were to come to me, if Dallas Jenkins had come to me and said, "Hey, Justin, I'm making this movie on Jesus and I want you to portray Jesus," my first response to him would be, "Are you kidding me? You want me, a fallen, sinful creature, to portray deity? Well, let me pray about it." No. No, not in a million years. The thought of even doing that would absolutely terrify me. I have a problem with the whole genre.
Could you be a little bit more definitive on that? I mean,
yeah.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, Justin, I don't think that a crippled Jesus would have sold well in the film anyway. I think that they probably would have had some shots in there of you walking across the Judean countryside with your disciples on your crutches, and people might have looked at that and thought, "I don't know. No. I'm not sure that's really biblically accurate."
No, he'd have been in
Are you saying
he healed others, himself he cannot heal?
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you saying like a faith healer shouldn't be, you know, having cancer or
wearing glasses?
I think you and your motorized scooter could have made for some good cinema.
A Jesus on a motorized scooter would be just about as accurate as the Jesus of The Chosen.
And look, we understand that whenever, if you go to Sight and Sound or any of those things, they're going to take some license and they say that, right? So fine, we get that. The issue that, and I haven't watched The Chosen, so. If people want to say that I'm arguing from ignorance, okay. But when we end up trying to, you know, make it where the people that we know in the Bible, we want to make them seem more like us. Why do we want to make them, you know? It's because they don't like the Jesus that does exist. And you know, to what Justin was saying earlier, you know, for those of you who watched the movie Fireproof, there's a character in there, Javier, I think is the name. And this is the actual person that plays Javier has been impacted by Justin Peters' ministry. So we got to meet him and he came out of some of the charismatic stuff from Justin Peters. So, which is kind of neat. But there's a scene in there where this guy, Javier, he's walking around because he's praying. He needs a job and waiting for a job. And here he's just walking around a neighborhood and some guy calls out to him, Javier, because he's expecting a Javier to show up to his house to do work on the house. And so this guy hires Javier and they're working together. And like a couple days later, week later, the guy goes to lunch with his other friends, and the friend who said he'd send Javier over goes, "Hey, sorry about Javier. He couldn't. He's in the hospital and never showed up." He's like, "What do you mean? Javier's at my house right now."
Yeah.
And they realize it's a different Javier. The problem with the Jesus of Mormonism and Catholicism and all these others is it's a different Jesus. Well, I mean, Catholicism at least is closer, but Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. But here's the thing that really bothers me with it. And Justin, you were kind of saying this earlier, but there is a book that came out called How Wide the Divide. This was a book that was basically to Mormonism what's evangelicals and Christians together was to Roman Catholicism. And what ECT was a bunch of conservatives saying, yeah, Catholics are like us. And what was going on was the Catholics who said we're condemned to hell were suddenly saying, you know, we're Christians just like you. You had the Mormons that did the same exact thing. And How Wide the Divide was where you had a Mormon and a Christian, an evangelical Christian. And the Mormon is saying exactly what they believe. Not fireproof courageous. Sorry. Thank you, John. So what ends up happening is you end up having that here's an evangelical that's just placating to the Mormon saying, yeah, we're very similar. We're very similar. Not defining the terms, but just trying to say we can get along. And then you ended up seeing a campaign that the Mormons did called We Are Christian Too. And they who say we've lost the gospel now want to be just like us and say they're like us. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing it right now. They've redone their website and they're claiming they're Christians like us. We all supposedly lost the gospel, didn't have the right gospel. Suddenly they all want to be like us. And unfortunately, too many Christians are going, come on in. Yes. It's just so nice that we can all be together.
Yeah.
It's shameful.
And what you have to think about too is we're talking about starting points. Okay. We have to define starting points because what I said earlier is in the chosen, you're not going to sit there and see them say, oh, the Jesus that we believe in and the Jesus of the Bible are diametrically opposed to each other. You're not going to see that. You're going to see them say, oh, we believe in the same Jesus. And Andrew, you just finished saying it. They are Christians, quote unquote, just like the Baptist and just like everybody else. And when Jenkins comes along and he says in his statement, no, I don't believe that all Mormons are Christians, just like I don't believe that all Baptists are Christians or all Catholics are Christians, all evangelicals are Christians. The reason he said that is he's saying the LDS Mormon Church is a division and part, a denomination of the greater Christian church. They are Christians. And inside that, just like we have false converts, there's false converts in their churches as well. So he can say, I don't believe that they're all Christians, but I'm not so arrogant as to say that none of them are.
Well,
you know, it was a lot like Ed Litton's statement, wasn't it, on homosexuality? That, you know, how I know not all homosexuals are going to hell because not all heterosexuals are going to heaven. Well, I mean, it was a statement just like that. The biggest issue I have is we're kind of talking through this is, you know, he brought up in several of his videos this idea of there's commonalities between the faiths.
Exactly.
And he talks about different faith traditions. So he's looking at them like all on the same level to a degree, right? And he's looking at the commonalities in the Gospels that he's supposed to be portraying in The Chosen, and he's ignoring... Yeah, so Chris Huff says J.D. Greer's statement. Yes, J.D. Greer made it, and then Ed Litton copied it, and Ed Litton gave it in a sermon as well in one of his plagiarized talks.
And both of them got it.
So they both said it, and it was probably said by several hundred other pastors across the country as well.
What did you say, Justin?
The original statement came from Tim Keller. They lifted it off of Tim Keller, which is not a good source to be getting your theology from.
So I just pulled this. This is Dallas Jenkins's statement. He said, I think it's also true that it would be a problem if I actually said those words definitively. He added in that word definitively. Okay. Jenkins added, that would be a problem. And here's why. Not think about what he's saying. not because there aren't LDS folks who aren't Christians, and not because there aren't LDS and evangelicals who love the same Jesus, but because it would be wrong of me to ever say that any one group believes any one thing altogether. So you see what he's saying? I mean, guys, he's legitimately saying, straight out of the box there, he's saying it's not a problem that there are false converts. It'd be a problem for me to say that there's not false converts. That's the argument he's making. I mean, it's in plain language. Just like we have false converts, they have false converts as well, and we're Christians just like you.
Yeah,
but it's a logical fallacy because within, okay, broad term and overused, but evangelical, assuming we mean by evangelical people who believe salvation by grace alone through faith alone and Christ alone, assuming that, okay.
Yeah.
Evangelicals have the right gospel. They have the right Jesus. Yes, there's many converts many false converts within evangelicalism, but they do have the right gospel. Mormonism doesn't have the right gospel. True. They've got the wrong Jesus and the wrong gospel. So the truth, salvation is, the gospel truly is presented within the evangelical world. It is definitively not presented within Mormonism at all on any level. And so any person who would be an LDS who is actually a Christian would have to be someone who is got converted, not because of the LDS church, but in spite of the LDS church. And it would only be because they actually heard the real gospel somewhere else. And they would at best be a brand new baby, very immature Christian. But here's the thing. If an LDS person truly does get saved, truly does become converted and regenerate, adopted into the family of God, they're not going to stay LDS. They're going to leave. They're going to leave.
You know, look, it's, you know, Matt Sixx sometimes says this about Roman Catholicism, but it's true as far with Mormons as well. Are there some that are within the Mormon church that may legitimately get saved? Yes. But it is not because of Mormon doctrine, but apart from it.
Yeah.
That you cannot believe in good Mormon doctrine and go to heaven. It's impossible.
Right.
Well, and that's why the clarity needs to be there, right? Is the question that really needs to be asked of him is ask him what the actual gospel is taught in the Bible for him to answer that question. And then what is the gospel, quote unquote, that is being taught by the Mormon church, the one that's being taught by the Roman Catholic church, and the one that's being taught by fill in the blank, right? I mean, that's really the question that has to be asked. And that he needs to answer rather than all these fuzzy words that in a nonsensical 15 or 16 minute video that really said nothing.
Well, and you think about on foundational starting points. Okay, so ask the question: who is God? Okay, we have a fundamentally different teaching between biblical Christianity, the scriptures, Judaism, okay? We have a fundamentally different teaching between that and the gods, plural, of the LDS Mormon church. They are absolutely completely different. First thing you have is, you know, you think Psalm 90, verse 2. I posted up here a little bit ago, Psalm 90, verse 2. We would actually say that according to scripture, we believe that God has revealed before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and to the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We believe that the Bible teaches that God is eternally God. He never became God. He never was a man who became God. Well, the LDS teaching, the Mormon teaching, is that the God that they're talking about, Elohim, was born from other gods who had celestial sex, is what they talk about. They had celestial sex. He was born, and then he lived according to the laws and the covenants. And Andrew, he wrote this book, a really cool book called What Do They Believe? And he writes down in the very first part of it, the Articles of Faith on chapter 4, the Articles of Faith say, we believe in God, the Eternal Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, wait a minute. They believe in the same God. No, they don't.
We believe in God, the Eternal.
No, they don't. We believe that. I'm getting feedback. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm hearing your feedback, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's me. But, anyway, we believe that man will be punished on their own sin. What's that? I don't know what it is.
I'd just like to quote Andrew from your. Can you hear me fine?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Go in.
Okay.
Go in.
Well, I just want to quote from Andrew's book about it's on page 145 of what do they believe about Jesus Christ and his deity. They do not believe in the dual nature of Jesus being both fully God and fully man. Jesus was God, became man, died, and became God again. So that's not the same Jesus as what the Bible teaches, as
right.
Who being equal to God because he is God. And just, you know, Philippians 2 say being in the form of God did not see it a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He didn't cease to be God, but he set aside his splendor and glory and became like a slave by becoming a man. And he never ceased to be God. He was fully God and he was fully man. And that his death on the cross is he was still fully God and fully man on the cross. We don't teach like the Mormons do that Jesus ever ceased to be God and then had become God again. Mm-hmm. Or like Beth Moore teaches that he ceased to be the Son of God on the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't see the teaching that we can become God except in Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah.
Who was it speaking? Satan.
No, Satan.
That was Satan.
You know, and that's exactly what you're pointing out there. You know, I think one thing that is missed so many times is they use the biblical nuanced terms. And by nuance, I mean that they're changing the terms to mean what they want it to mean. But, you know, you think, Andrew, you pointed out in point number 8 on what they believe. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God. End point, that's the end of it, right? Isn't that what it said? No. Well, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God as long as it's translated correctly, but we also believe that the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. So
yeah,
there's a problem there. What they've done is they've elevated the Book of Mormon and several others over the Bible because the Bible has to be translated correctly.
So here's the thing that you'll see with many cults, and this is something to look for. Anytime you have the Bible plus, and that plus is what is used to interpret the Bible, then the Bible is not sufficient. In fact, it's lower than whatever the plus is. If you need the Roman Catholic Church's magisterium to interpret the Bible, then they're above the Bible because the Bible is useless until you have that. If it's the Jehovah's Witnesses Watchtower, if it's the Mormon Church's president or prophet or the Book of Mormon. And by the way, most Mormons don't read the Bible, okay? No. And if you were to do a comparison, and people have done this, the Book of Mormon is actually closer to Christianity than it is Mormonism. Because what we know of as Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, really got its structure not under Joseph Smith, who founded it, but after he was killed, it was really, you know, his predecessor, Brigham Young, who really created the doctrines that we know of with Mormonism. So Joseph Smith's stuff, early on, Book of Mormon was very much in line with the Bible. The irony of where we get this idea of some of the stuff of being gods, and even more so with, you know, if you guys know Mormonism, a lot of it deals with that. What do we have to look forward to in heaven is celestial marriage. We get to be married forever and be gods of our own planet and produce children. Where do they get this from? They get it from what they call the Book of Abraham.
Yeah.
The Book of Abraham is really interesting to study. What the Book of Abraham is, Joseph Smith had some guy traveling through town with these plates that had Egyptian on it. And
Reformed Egyptian.
And, you know, he claimed he translated this, and it was actually a Book of Abraham that had the gospel that was lost. And the gospel is that we would be married forever. And then one day, there was a Rosetta Stone. They discovered the same hieroglyphics with a language that we knew today, and they could now translate the Book of Abraham and discovered it's a funeral dirge. It doesn't speak anything about Abraham. Nothing. And what the internet's been damaging to the Mormon church, and so what they ended up doing was putting out these what they call journals of discourse. And they don't make it really public, but they're there for people that do the digging where they try to explain these things. So what they explain with the Book of Abraham is the Book of Abraham is a inspired translation. In other words, Joseph Smith said he translated it word for word and that this is what it is in the Egyptian. And yet now that we realize it's nothing like what it is in the Egyptian, the answer now is that this is a divine translation. Now, what a divine translation means is God got it completely wrong, but believe it anyway.
Right. One thing that several people have posted up here, let's just get to a couple of statements. In the King Follett Discourses, they teach against the Trinity. I actually first heard about this from James White talking about that. He's right. What he does is he says that when Joseph Smith was 16, I believe it was. Give me just a second. I'm sorry. When I believe he was 16, he'd been praying and asking what church should he join. And as he'd been praying, God the Father and God the Son, Jesus himself, they both came down and talked to him physically in physical form. They were standing in front of him and talked to him. And as Andrew pointed out, they both told him, do not join any of the apostate churches because they are all apostate. None of them are true Christian. They've all went apostate, and that he needs to wait, and they're going to reveal to him the new and true faith that they're going to give to him. So that's where you know you have this separation of the Trinity, but you have also God the Father coming in. "Quote unquote Elohim," who came in physical form, came in and spoke to him in his physical form and showed himself, revealed himself.
A correction that I said journal discourses. It's the gospel topic essays, and where they've tried to correct how the whole issue of the blacks were you know, they originally said blacks were cursed. And that's why they couldn't be the priesthood. That's corrected in these gospel topic essays. So they're very interesting because what those topic essays are doing is revealing that those of us who've been saying these things about the Mormon church for years were right. Anthony, you were going to say something. Anthony was going
to
say something.
I was going to put Sahama Clase of Joseph Smith sounds similar to Muhammad. Actually, Lutheran Satire did a video on this called "A Latter Day Regift." It is the funniest 6.5 minutes you will ever watch on the internet.
If you want something on that, Humble Clay, go to MRM.org. It's Mormonism Research Ministry, MRM.org. And Eric Johnson actually did that because I was talking to him about it. He's like, "Oh, I got a book on this." There's a lot of similarities between Joseph Smith and Mormon and Muhammad in how they came about. They both went to a dark place. They both got this revelation. They both had an angel that they entrust. There's a lot of similarities there.
And they were both initially afraid of it too.
Correct.
They both initially thought this entity, this thing that appeared to them was malevolent, was evil. They were both initially scared of it. So, you know, there's no way to prove this, but it's just kind of my working theological hypothesis that that it was probably the same demon that appeared to both Joseph Smith and Muhammad.
Now, now the interesting thing for Islam is, what convinced Muhammad? A woman. The prophet Muhammad listened to a woman. So who do we trust? The prophet or the woman in Islam? You should trust the prophet. Therefore, that was a demon in what he claimed. Just saying.
So Andrew goes over a lot of this stuff. And what
he said over and over again that he was demon possessed.
And exactly. Stephanie Link up there has a good comment. She said, as man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. That she's right about that. I've read that many different times, many places. But yeah, she's absolutely right about that. And,
well, that is a couplet that's known within Mormonism. That is basically the idea is that God was once a man, and we can become like God is. Anthony, where can they get that book that you were holding up?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Strivingforeternity.com. So go there, get this book. And in fact, Dallas Jenkins, if you're watching or you have somebody watching this show for you, I am happy to send you free copies, my own expense, of Andrew's book, What Do They Believe? So you can learn what Mormons actually believe, official doctrines, what the Roman Catholics actually believe, official doctrines, what Judaism actually believes, official doctrines. And then as a as another free gift to you, I will give you his other book, which I don't have within arm's reach, called What Do We Believe? And this is what you are supposed to believe, Dallas Jenkins, if you are truly an evangelical.
Hey, throw one more in there for folks who are listening that want to evangelize Mormons. We have a book at strivingfraternity.org called Sharing the Good News with Mormons. And you can get it at our store for 35% off with the coupon code LDS.
That's right.
So that gives you 24 different ideas, different ways to share the gospel with Mormons. You'll not only learn a lot about evangelism, but also about Mormonism.
So the reason that we're talking about this is, as Chris Huff, he posted this. He says, this also highlights that true believers do not need to partner with Dallas or anyone who believes a false gospel. So when somebody asks you, well, what's wrong with the Chosen? Well, we don't get our doctrine from the Chosen. We don't get our teaching from the Chosen. We don't get our understanding of Scripture from the Chosen. Stick to the Bible. See, here's the issue. Dallas Jenkins says that, you know, we believe that we believe the Bible, and we listen to the Bible, we adhere to the Bible, but only after the Holy Spirit, only after it's been guided through the Holy Spirit. In other words, the idea, the quote that he had been talking about, what he's talking about is the idea that we have to have this feeling, this, if you will, a burning in a bosom type feeling before we can go to the Scripture. So it's not the Scripture as the foundational authority. It's our feelings about how we deal with it. And that actually comes from Mormonism. That's a Mormon doctrine, which tells us that there's a burning in the bosom that can tell us when the Spirit is working and telling us what's true. Joseph Smith actually did teach that. He said in Mormonism, it teaches that if you want to know that the Book of Mormon is true, what do? You go, you pray about it, and if God will give you the burning in the bosom, the burning emotion, the burning in the bosom, then you will know. And that's the Holy Spirit affirming for you that the Book of Mormon is true. Pepcid AC works really good to take care of that burning.
Get some Pepto-Bismol, I'll clear that right up.
So, you know, I think we should address this one statement from Jenkins, right? We watched this in the video clip already. He said, I think it's also true that it'd be a problem if I actually said those words definitively. That would be a problem, and here's why. Not because there aren't LDS folks who aren't Christians, and not because there aren't LDS and evangelicals who love the same Jesus, but it'd be wrong for me to ever say that any one group believes any one thing altogether. Now, first and foremost is what we've been starting to do, and what you can do if you just get Andrew's book, is you can read all about what the LDS actually believes as their official doctrinal positions. So when somebody says they're LDS, by default, they believe what the LDS church teaches. Yeah. If somebody says a Roman Catholic, they by default believe what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. I mean, this is common sense, and this is where this that has to be the starting point when somebody identifies with a group. So Dallas Jenkins is acting like somebody can identify with a group, but not actually believe what the group believes, and maybe actually be something different. That's absurdity.
That's insane.
Now, having said all that, LDS and evangelicals love the same Jesus. So let's be really clear. So Andrew, what is or who is the Jesus that the Mormons believe in?
Well, the Jesus that the Mormons believe in was a physical product of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother.
So created through celestial sex. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
He is the brother of Lucifer.
Okay. Brother Lucifer.
That he is going to become God, or now is God, and he'll have his own planet. Now, one of the interesting things is Jesus was sinless. However, Heavenly Father was not. They believe Heavenly Father sinned on a previous planet. Mm-hmm. So you go figure that one. Why would Jesus be perfect then if no other human in history in other planets has been? This Jesus that will have, if he's going to be a good Mormon, have to be a celestial marriage to somebody to produce children on his planet, because that's the way that you fill the planets, your own planet. So this is very different than the God of the Bible, or the Jesus of the Bible, who is eternal, no beginning, no end, who is God, not just a man. He is truly man and truly God.
And creator of all things.
Yeah. And so here's the dilemma you end up having. He would have been from a planet called Kolob.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. Now think about this. Colossians 1 says that Jesus Christ created all things, everything that was created, anything that was created, visible, invisible, heaven, earth. If it's been created, Jesus created it. So the question to ask the Mormon, I'm trying to understand this. How did Jesus Christ create the planet Kolob before he was born? How did he create his parents before he was born? And by the way, how did he create the planet Kolob before his parents were born and create his grandparents? You see, in an attempt to answer the question, where did God come from? They created a bigger problem.
Yeah. Well, and see, and this is the point, right? How can LDS and evangelicals love the same Jesus when it is not the same Jesus? And this is the whole point that Dallas Jenkins really needs to understand. So thank you for that, Andrew.
No, and one thing you got to think about, Hebrews 1 it says in verse 5, "For unto which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today have I begotten you'? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be unto me a son.' And when again, bringing the firstborn into the world, did he say, 'Let all the angels of God worship him'?" You see, what the LDS and Mormons teach is that all of the angels are our spirit brothers. And what the Bible teaches is that Jesus Christ is not an angel, and he's eternally God, but he's not an angel. Then he didn't get created as a man. And as you were pointing out, and I don't want anybody to miss this, Elohim came down in time, at the plan of Jesus. He came down in time, and he had physical sexual relationships with Mary, who was married to Joseph, and conceived Jesus, who came into the world and who, lived and died. And Jesus adhered to not only the Old Testament or the scriptures, but he also adhered to the Mormon scriptures as well. So don't forget that. Don't miss that stuff. So we're talking about a completely different Jesus, a completely different God. And we have a couple more resources that I had pulled up. Have you guys ever heard of Living Waters? I don't know if you guys.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the studio where Sight and Sound Studios. No,
it's something like that. It's like, well, they've got excellent material. Everybody knows that we have excellent material. Well, they have a very 28-minute in season three. They did a 28-minute discussion on the secrets of Mormonism, and they did not pull any punches. They didn't waste like a minute. And what I want to do is go through about maybe 5 minutes real quick. We could break it down and kind of, because I want to reiterate, this is not just us saying, okay, this is not just us saying, oh, we believe this and this is our stuff. I want you to hear what it's the doctrine is and what's being taught. It's not just us saying they're doing that. This is common knowledge.
You ever stolen anything? Trust me, please.
I sped it up a little bit. 1.25.
A teenage boy named Joseph Smith Jr. said he had a vision while he was praying in the woods. According to the official account, he said he was visited in the 1820s by God the Father and Jesus Christ, who told him that Christianity had become corrupt, that all the churches were wrong, their creeds were an abomination, and he shouldn't join any of them.
3 years later, Joseph was visited by an angel named Moroni, who told him where to find some golden, buried golden plates that would explain the true gospel and tell him about the history of the American Indians. These plates were supposedly written in Reformed Egyptian. So he had to translate them into English, and the result eventually became known as the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ.
With that as a backdrop, now let's look at what Mormons believe and where they get their teaching from. His followers are known as Mormons, and they have taught some very interesting things, such as that if it weren't for Joseph Smith, nobody would be saved.
If it had not been for Joseph Smith and the Restoration, there would be no salvation.
All right, let's pause just for a second. Everybody jump in. How do we get this in here? Can we get it in there this way? There we are. All right. So if everybody's in there, you just saw that. Let me see if I can
put that up. Well, a couple things that are interesting with that real quick is one is the fact that they mentioned the hieroglyphics of of the Book of Mormon,
yeah,
the Reformed Egyptian. There's no copies of the Book of Mormon in Egyptian. No. I mean, it's convenient that way. We have the Book of Abraham, but there's no copies. So now that we can do the Rosetta Stone, it'd be really interesting to see what the Book of Mormon translated as.
No, but think about what he's saying here. If it had not been for Joseph Smith and the Restoration, there would be no salvation.
Yeah, he's basically the fourth member of the Trinity.
Well, it's mind-blowing to think that Dallas Jenkins or others would say, oh, well, they're Christians too, or there's some that are Christians, and he did. He can say he didn't all he wants to, but even in his definitive statement, there was a definitive statement that we all heard that there are LDS Christians. If you believe the doctrine of the Latter-day Saints church, you are not a Christian. Okay, there is no salvation without Joseph Smith. By the way, we're going to learn later that they believe that Joseph Smith was the one that died for you, and his death, that was efficacious. So, hit the play button. I'm sorry.
There is no salvation outside the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mormons get their beliefs from five main sources. The Book of Mormon, which Joseph Smith said is the most correct of any book on earth. Second, the Doctrine and Covenants, which is a book mostly about theology. Third, the Pearl of Great Price. Fourth, the King James Bible, insofar as it is translated correctly, which for the average Mormon means the Bible cannot be trusted entirely. But the ultimate authority in the Mormon Church comes from the living Mormon apostles and prophets, especially the president, who is considered to be the voice of God on earth, kind of like a Mormon pope. And he can overturn any teaching of a previous president, which is not uncommon. Let's now look at what they teach about God.
Joseph Smith said, in what's called the King Follett Funeral Discourse, one of his last teachings before he was killed in the Carthage jail, he said, "We have imagined and supposed that God has been God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. When he refuted the idea that God had eternally been God, he forever separated his followers from biblical Christianity. Until Mormonism can repudiate that belief, there is no way that Mormonism can even begin to consider biblical Christianity. And so when we talk about the biblical Jesus, we have to step back and say, first we start with an eternal God, who in Psalm 90 verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So when we talk about Jesus being God, when we point to the passages on the deity of Christ, which a Mormon will accept, they believe Jesus is a God. He is the God of the Old Testament, just a different God than Elohim. They have two different gods at that point. We need to emphasize we are talking about an eternal God who created all things, who is not himself created. He is not himself one of the spirits of men. Interestingly enough, Mormons believe that Jesus is Jehovah. And yet when you go in the Old Testament, Jehovah creates the spirits of men, Zechariah 12:1. And yet in Mormonism, he is one of the spirits of men. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul describes Jesus and says that he is the creator of all things. Visible, invisible, principalities, powers, dominions, and authorities, all things created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things exist, consist, hold together. And yet in Mormonism, Jesus obviously was not the one who created the planet that his father lived on when he was a man, or the God before him, or the God before him. And so they have to limit these descriptions of Jesus to just having relevance to this planet. Elohim was once a man who lived on another planet. And he went through a process of following the gospel there. He was deemed worthy. And when he died, he was resurrected with his wives, organized this world. Notice I did not say created, because the Mormon God cannot create anything ex nihilo, out of nothing or into nothing. He can only organize pre-existing matter. But he organized this earth, and he begets spirit children with his wives. The first begotten of the spirit children was Jehovah or Jesus. We all are the spirit brothers of Jesus. Each one of us.
Let's jump back in real quick. All right. Did you guys catch everything he was talking about? He's saying that the very foundational starting point is who is God. The Jehovah's Witness, I'm sorry, the Mormon, the LDS Church, they believe in a completely different God, one that was created from other gods who were created from other gods who were created. This is an infinite regress, mm-hmm. right? There is no originator God. It's just infinitely back. And they keep on having celestial sex. And see, and it blows my mind. Andrew, you were just talking about, you know, the Muslim idea, you know, and how they, you know, treat women basically, right? When they should have been listening to the woman, they're listening to the man right. and whatnot. But this treats women as sexual objects for the rest of eternity. They create a world where their job is to be procreated upon and create spirit children who come in and inhabit other planets. And infinitely, they keep doing this. So women are basically the objects of you know what? I don't know what you want to call it. Just sexual procreation.
Yeah, I mean that's what they have to look forward to. But here's the interesting thing with it is that a woman cannot get to the celestial kingdom, to the ultimate level of heaven, and see her own children without a husband.
So I was going to ask you that. Okay, this is you guys know and this kind of
that's
kind of personal.
When we go to the Mormon pageants and things like that, the women are the hardest ones. Like if we start engaging with a husband, you will see their wives pull them away because their wife cannot get to heaven without the husband.
So if a wife or a woman in general is a Mormon and she dies without a Mormon husband, what happens to her?
Well, she can go to as a good, obedient LDS member, she can go to the second heaven, but not the third, not that highest level. I mean, I actually now wrap your head around this, folks. I used to work with a member of Mormon church. When she became a Mormon, she realized she could not get to celestial heaven without a Mormon husband who is temple worthy, not just being a Mormon. He's got to be temple worthy. He's got to be up on his tithing. He's got to be meeting with the bishops and doing everything they're saying. And so what she did was she was married to a man who was not Mormon. She denied him the physical relations of marriage, knowing that eventually this guy would commit adultery upon him committing adultery, she immediately left him, had grounds according to the church for divorce, left him and go and went and married a Mormon person, a Mormon man, so that she could be in the celestial kingdom. Now let's think about that and say, which one is worse here, folks?
Wow.
She purposely set up a way for her husband to cheat so that she would be able to claim she's a good Mormon. So denying your husband physical relations so that you can marry someone else. And that's temple worth. That'll get her, the highest level of heaven.
I tell you what I would like to see in the audience, for those that are watching, we've got 45 on this one channel, and I know we have a bunch more in other places. I'd like to see something like a poll or something like that. Do you believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers? Do you believe that they're brothers born from Elohim? Is that something that you're comfortable saying? And in believing that, do you believe that you're a Christian to say that? And here's why I'm going to ask the question, because let me put Dr. White back in here. You guys don't need to drop out. It just takes just a minute. I just want you to hear this. And this is from Ray Comfort and Kirk and a couple of guys. So here, listen.
You and I, we were also begotten by Elohim and one of his heavenly wives in a spiritual preexistence. Another one of the offspring.
So we're all spiritual brothers with Jesus.
Is Jesus the spirit brother of Lucifer and you and you and me?
Yes.
Was Jesus Lucifer's brother?
Yes.
And
as you are his brother.
And Lucifer's brother?
As you are Jesus's brother as well. We're all children of our heavenly father.
In the premortal spirit life, Jesus, Lucifer, and all of us were the spirit children of God and his wives.
Okay. Did everybody hear that? Okay. I just want to clarify it. Yeah. Did everybody hear what I heard? Not only all of us are spiritually brothers and sisters with Jesus, not speaking in the context of salvation, but of being. And then Satan is the spirit brother as well.
Yep. That is a different Jesus. That is a different Jesus.
I think there's a scripture verse, John 1:12. Not all have the right to be a child of God. Only those who believe in Jesus have the right to be called. So we're not all children of God. Only believers are children of God. Something they get wrong.
Yeah. Catholics say the same thing. Yeah. We're all children of God, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, this is a major part of Mormon doctrine, though.
Yeah.
Because they mean physical. I mean, we're literally the offspring of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother.
Trisha Burton, she posted this, said, quote, Jesus became a God and reached his great state of understanding through consent, consistent effort and continuous obedience to all the gospel truths and universal laws. And that's what I was going to also point out with in Andrew's book, is that in Andrew's book, one of the tenets of belief, do I have it pulled up here? No, I don't. I'm sorry. One of the tenets of belief is they believe in the Ten Commandments, and they believe in the upholding of the covenants of Mormonism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't quote that exactly right, but.
Yeah, so. It's a cult. Mormonism is a cult. You may as well be Muslim as be Mormon. And by the way, the way that Mormons and Muslims view women, there's a lot of similarity there. There's a lot of Islamic shadows within Mormonism in relation to that.
When I go in churches and teach our What Do They Believe seminar, one of the things I point out, Justin, is just that you can tell that Mormonism and Islam are man-made religions. And when I say that, I don't mean human-made. I mean specifically the gender, male.
Yeah.
Because what they have to look forward to in heaven is everything that they would say is sinful here? I mean, you have all these women, you're having sex with all the women in Islam. You have you can have alcohol. Everything they say is wrong here. What do the women have to look forward to? Basically being a sex slave for eternity.
Yep.
So, I don't even know how to pronounce it. D. Otero. I've heard that Mormons say that even God is subject to the universal law. And we just read that.
That has shadows of word faith theology. I mean, they're all related. They're all related. Mormonism, word faith, Roman Catholicism, and Islam. They're all related.
Why is that, Justin? Do they have the same source? Are they from the same father?
Ooh.
Huh?
Yep. Bingo. Yep. The father of lies, specifically. Yeah. The father of lies.
Hey, I'm gonna drop out. I just popped in for a little bit. I'm down here in D.C. spending time with my bride. So, we went to a seminar over at the Museum of the Bible tonight. Really, really cool on some archaeology. Maybe sometime we'll talk about on a later show.
Before you drop out, do you have the paper bag? You're gonna wait till next week.
No, I'll have to get a paper bag.
Oh, you're going to have to get a paper bag,
myself
guys.
Out of.
So somebody online said that Andrew could not argue his way out of a wet paper bag, and I challenged him online. I said, Andrew, I challenge you to argue your way out of a wet paper bag. I don't know exactly how you're going to do that, but man,
yeah,
I'll have to do that.
Andrew could argue his way out of Houdini's outfits underwater.
And I agree 100%. So I think it's hilarious that this guy said that.
Well, we'll see if he shows up. I mean, so far, you guys didn't have a guy coming in tonight that claims that there were no Black Lives Matter protests, did you?
No.
Okay. A guy who claimed that that Black Lives Matter was not an insurrection, but it was only January 6th?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. We'll see if he shows up next week. I said this week I won't be here. He said he doesn't want to come on because I'm such a meanie. I'm so mean. I said, well, come on when I'm not on.
But, yeah, he is so mean. He is so mean. Hey, we do need to take a moment, though, and all just rest and relax, right? I mean, guys, we need to take a moment and just take a break. Sit back, get our comfy little slippers on, and take us a break, you know. And having said that, let's go. If you don't have the means to take the break, let's go to MyPillow and go to MyPillow.com, and you can type in the promo code SFE, and they will give you a good discount towards fluffy, comfy pillows and fluffy, comfy, what are those things? Moccasins?
They're slippers.
Slippers,
yeah, moccasin slippers, yeah.
Well, it looks like jet skis. They look like jet skis. That's a big
I wear size 11, so.
So jet skis, okay. Waterproof jet skis that'll keep you warm.
And soft.
So those are real, authentic my slippers?
They are. I typed in SFE while they're having their $100 off sale, and I got $100 off. It was $50 with shipping and everything.
Wow.
$100.
That's great.
Wow. Don't buy the full price, whatever you do.
So, Justin, I think we have a guest in the background waiting to come in and give some thoughts.
Oh, that's right. It's Mr. Polygamy, right? Is that who it is?
Who?
Yeah, Mr. one wife, Polygamy. One God.
I think it says one wife, one God.
Well,
I think he has the order reversed.
Oh, that's right. It's the Cluck Commander. Nobody in the world like Cluck Commander. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got some thoughts about all this. I actually was going to recommend a couple of other books. First of all, you brought up James White. He's got a great book out there called Letters to a Mormon Elder. Yeah, and that's a really good one you can find. If you dig around, I think at monergism.com, I think you can find it for free. I think it's like a PDF. And then also, if you come across any book from Sandra Tanner, I would And apparently, Justin Peters there is making funny faces.
My granddaughter just well, she didn't walk in. She's 6 months old, but she was just carried in. So,
well, it's funny on the screen. It shows you facing Anthony there. So I thought you were like making funny faces to him. So
here's the story.
I'll be right.
Anyway. Any book that you can get your hands on from Sandra Tanner is a fantastic resource when it comes to Mormonism. I have one that it's got to be like 600 pages long. I mean, it's yeah. huge. It goes through so much of their history and just the in-depth lies that Mormonism is all about. And it's really fantastic stuff. I've been reading it every now and then. And then for entertainment reasons, I don't know if you've been, if you're aware, but there's this one TV series that's out right now. Yeah, Bill McKeever is a Bill fantastic. Bill McKeever,
Mormonism.
Yeah.
Mormonism Research Ministry.
Yep. And on Amazon Prime, I believe, I think it's on Amazon Prime, there's a show out called Under the Banner of Heaven. And if you have not seen that yet, check it out. It's really interesting. It's actually about, it takes place back in the 80s. It deals with one particular, an actual real life murder that happened. It's all based on true story. I mean, on, you know, a true story, a true crime. And it is really in depth and it's really interesting. I mean, sure, there's probably a lot of, liberties, you know, taken with the storyline, but as far as what the Mormons believe and the history with Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and all that, it is really in depth, and it talks focuses a lot about the blood atonement that that they have belief in, and so it's pretty great. I mean, it's a good story. It's like, I think like 7 episodes, and right now I've watched the first six episodes right now. So anyway, check it out if you want to. It's a good show. And other than that, I think I don't have anything else to say.
Well, that's good. I appreciate you saying what you had to say. All right. So if anybody else has anything they want to come in and say, well, come on in. You know, Dallas Jenkins, if you want to come in and say something, you're welcome to it.
Yeah, we'll light answer the questions.
Yeah,
light.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to bow out.
All right, brother. All right, brother. Hey, so, thank you so much for coming. Everybody say thank you to Justin. And by the way, one way you can say thank you to Justin Peters is go over to justinpeters.org and support our dear brother. Justin knows how I feel about him. I think he's a dear, dear brother. He's a friend of mine and just somebody that we all, and not just me, we all count Justin as a dear friend and brother. He's here as often as he can be. He's very busy, and we want you guys to support him. I cannot tell you, you know, what COVID did, what the bans and everything else have done to hurt Christian ministries, that biblical ministries. And you know, Justin needs support, and you know, even Strive for Eternity at Apologetics Live, you know, we need as much support as possible, you know, not just financial support. Guys, one thing that helps more than anything is if you will take the material that we're producing and share it with everybody you can, because that gets the message out that there's something that is not being shadow banned, or that can't be shadow banned, it can't be blocked, and there's truth out there that you need to hear. So please support my dear brother. You know, I just want to say that. So,
thank you, Justin. I appreciate that, brother.
Well, I'll expect a check in the mail. So, no, he doesn't pay me for nothing. Nope.
No, he doesn't pay me for
nothing. Oh yeah, Justin, I win.
Been blessed. Justin, we have been really blessed by your ministry.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Praise the Lord for it, and y'all have been a real encouragement to me as well. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. God bless. Go have fun with that grandbaby.
I'll do it.
All right, man.
He's a lot cuter than y'all anyway.
Yes, yes.
I believe it.
Very much
more hair than much. All right.
Thank you, brother. Well, hey, we've got one more thing I want to show everybody. And as I said, this is from jeremiahfilms.com, and it's called the Band Mormon cartoon. And when I first saw it, I was like, haha, that's silly. This thing is so spot on. I mean, everybody gets their understanding. They start here and they work out and they say, this is absolutely rock solid. And I want you to hear this. Guys, if you want me to stop at any point in time and point anything out, whatnot, just let me know. We're not going to go through the entire thing, but I want to go through a little bit of it and have everybody hear it.
Near the basic tenets of Mormonism are in direct conflict with biblical Christianity. The following piece of animation, based directly on actual Mormon publications, highlights these major doctrinal differences.
Mormonism teaches that trillions of planets scattered throughout the cosmos are ruled by countless gods who once were human like us. They say that long ago on one of these planets, to an unidentified god and one of his goddess wives, a spirit child named Elohim was conceived. This spirit child was later born to human parents who gave him a physical body. Through obedience to Mormon teaching and death and resurrection, he proved himself worthy and was elevated to godhood as his father before him. Mormons believe that Elohim is their heavenly father, and that he lives with his many goddess wives on a planet near a mysterious star called Kola. Here, the god of Mormonism and his wives, through endless celestial sex, produce spirit children. To decide their destiny, the head of the Mormon gods called a great heavenly council meeting. Both of Elohim's eldest sons were there. Lucifer and his brother Jesus. A plan was presented to build planet Earth, where the spirit children would be sent to take on mortal bodies and learn good from evil. Lucifer stood and made his bid for becoming savior of this new world. Wanting the glory for himself, he planned to force everyone to become gods. Opposing the idea, the Mormon Jesus suggested giving man his freedom of choice, as on other planets. The vote that followed approved the proposal of the Mormon Jesus, who would become savior of the planet Earth. Enraged, Lucifer cunningly convinced one-third of the spirits destined for Earth to fight with him in revolt. Thus, Lucifer became the devil and his followers the demons. Sent to this world, they would forever be denied bodies of flesh and bone. Those who remained neutral in the battle were cursed to be born with black skin. This is the Mormon explanation for the Negro race. The spirits that fought most valiantly against Lucifer would be born into Mormon families on planet Earth. These would be the lighter-skinned people, or white and delightsome, as the Book of Mormon describes them. Early Mormon prophets taught that Elohim and one of his goddess wives came to Earth as Adam and Eve to start the human race. Thousands of years later, Elohim, in human form once again, journeyed to Earth from the starbase Kola, this time to have sex with the Virgin Mary, in order to provide Jesus with a physical body. After Jesus Christ grew to manhood,
creepy,
three wives, Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene. Through these wives, the Mormon Jesus, for whom Joseph Smith claimed direct descent, supposedly fathered a number of children before he was crucified. According to the Book of Mormon, after his resurrection, Jesus came to the Americas to preach to the Indians, who the Mormons believe are really Israelites. Thus, the Jesus of Mormonism established his church in the Americas as he had in Palestine.
Wow.
By the year 421 AD, the dark-skinned Indian Israelites, known as Lamanites, had destroyed all of the white Nephites in a number of great battles. The Nephites' records were supposedly written on golden plates and buried by Moroni, the last living Nephite in the hill Cumorah. 1,400 years later, a young treasure seeker named Joseph Smith, who was known for his tall tales, claimed to have uncovered these same gold plates near his home in upstate New York. He is now honored by Mormons as a prophet because he claimed to have had visions from the spirit world in which he was commanded to organize the Mormon church because all Christian creeds were an abomination. It was Joseph Smith who originated most of these peculiar doctrines which millions today believe to be true. By maintaining a rigid code of financial and moral requirements and through performing secret temple rituals for themselves and the dead, the Latter-day Saints hope to prove their worthiness and thus become gods. The Mormons teach that everyone must stand at the final judgment before Joseph Smith, the Mormon Jesus, and Elohim. Those Mormons who were sealed in the eternal marriage ceremony expect to become polygamous gods in the celestial kingdom, rule over other planets, and spawn new families throughout eternity. The Mormons thank God for Joseph Smith, who claimed that he had done more for us than any other man, including Jesus Christ. The Mormons believe that he died as a martyr, shed his blood for us, so that we too may become gods.
So while Jesus shed his blood for your soul, Joseph Smith shed his blood so that you can become God. Guys?
Yeah, it wasn't because he escaped prison and he died in a shootout. Of course not.
No. But think, he had the seer stone, he had the seer stones, right? And he was given those by the angels. I think one thing that was missed here is that you have Moroni, who was a Roman soldier way back when in the first century, puts the golden plates in the ground, and then the angel Moroni tells Joseph Smith where it's at, so that he can fix the right religion because, you know, it's been done wrong for so many generations. You know, the sheer, you know, utter blasphemy. That's what Melissa says. What do you guys think about that stuff?
I think Dallas Jenkins needs to repent.
I don't disagree.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know what else to say about this. It's, you know, we've clearly shown in this show, it's been clearly shown in many books and other publications that Mormonism is not Christian. It is a cult. It is one that damns you to hell. It is a false gospel. A wrong Jesus. I mean, everything about it is wrong. And
the starting point, everything. Exactly.
Everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. And so for Dallas Jenkins to make such nonsensical, just hazy, fluffy comments in a 16-minute video and other videos he's done. Again, I painfully watched
and articles, today. Hundreds of interviews and articles.
Right. I mean, at no point did he think about actually researching what does the LDS Church actually teach and believe. What does the Roman Catholic Church actually teach and believe? It's foolish.
What's at stake if you have the wrong Jesus, the wrong God, the wrong way of salvation, the wrong eternal perspective, the wrong hope? What is at stake at that? I mean, we have Trisha Burton. I want to read this, and I want you guys to answer that question.
Yeah.
I was taught this. This cartoon is spot on. Fifth generation to come out of this, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Fifth generation, she hears the truth and gets out. Fifth generation ex-Mormon here. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's at stake?
Okay. Well, Galatians 1, verses 6 through 10. I'm astonished you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. The next verse, by the way, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Dallas Jenkins, you cannot pretend to be serving Christ. You cannot pretend that your show is serving Christ because you are trying to please man. You're doing exactly what this passage talks about. You are clearly distorting the gospel of Christ when you are proclaiming all the nonsense you are about LDS and Catholics and others. It's really clear.
Amen. Amen.
I have to be on another show, but I can attest to the show Chosen. It is heretical. It is heretical teaching of Jesus. He teaches that Jesus said that not even he could do everything.
Yeah, exactly.
He teaches. Yeah, that's first season whenever he changed water into wine. He said, not even I can do everything, talking about Andrew dancing. And he also elevates women to where they teach men and rebuke men. He has Jesus being arrested by Romans in the second season. And Jesus is, you know, just totally nonchalant and giving answers that, you know, it's all extra biblical. What they have Jesus do in the show is he doesn't address repentance. They have Mary Magdalene go and get drunk and revert back to her sinful lifestyle because of PTSD. And he doesn't address repentance at all. He just says, he's like, don't you know? You're bound to mess up again. I saved you not to be perfect. I just called you out to follow me. And the Pharisees, this is what gets me the most, what they do with the Pharisees. They have Pharisees reject Jesus, not because he goes against their traditions, but because they have such a rigid, strict interpretation of Torah. Now, if you read the teachings of the Talmud and you read the oral traditions, a lot, they skew a lot of the Old Testament. They don't actually interpret it literally like it's supposed to be interpreted. But aside from that, they teach that people who hold close to the scriptures are the Pharisees. So people like you and me, we're Pharisees because we only believe what the Bible has revealed about God.
It's a good point. A lot of professing Christians say that stuff today too. So, Melissa Owens, you had a question a little bit earlier. The first book of Andrews that he wrote is called What Do They Believe? And this is one you said you have. He goes through the main Western religions and does a fantastic job of it. So he goes through Judaism, Roman Catholicism, Islam, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. And then the last chapter is on Christianity, which is just giving you the basic doctrines of Christianity. So that you can see where these other false religions differ from biblical Christianity. Then he turned that last chapter into his second book, which is called What Do We Believe? And this is basically a 200-page systematic theology of the Christian faith. And as I tell people when I go to conferences, you can read Wayne Grudem like this, although you have to paperclip a few pages together, as Phil Johnson says.
Couple of times.
And there's other systematic theologies. Josiah and I just talked about this, what I think yesterday evening, about different systematic theologies. Andrew does an unbelievable job written at a lay level in 200 pages. Like, this is a must read mm-hmm. book for anybody. So that's what that book is. It's not about Mormonism. It's about what do we believe.
Yeah. One thing I want to point out here is, we're almost
there. And they're both available at Striving for Eternity.
Striving for Eternity. Yes, that's right.
One thing I want to point out, I tried to make sure and pull this up. This, the video, the cartoon that we watched is from Ed Decker and those guys. They're responsible for the Godmaker movie. The Godmakers movie. It's on Amazon, but I can't pull it up for some reason. Maybe one of you guys can pull it up and put it in. I can't pull it up for some reason off of Amazon. I'm being blocked like all over the place, which wouldn't surprise me. But the Godmakers, the Godmakers movie, that's where this came from. It's a clip from it. It actually is Ed Decker, and those are the guys that did Fast Facts on False Religion. That's another resource I didn't even think about until just now. Ed Decker, those guys are, you know, they're the apologetics that when we were little kids, we were all kids and they were doing it. So, Ron Carlson, Ed Decker, these guys, they did, Fast Facts on False Religion. And this is the Godmakers movie. It's a clip from it.
I see the paperbacks here on Amazon.
Can you put that in or put it on the screen so everybody can see it? Because I can't get to it. I don't know why it is.
Yeah,
everybody hates me. I don't know what it is.
They're trying to shut us down. I think they look over me because all I do is a bunch of sharing. I don't do a lot of actual posting.
Well, we were actually going to do a whole other. I've got a VPN, Captain Black Eagle. It's a very good one. And maybe that's what's making it angry. But no, we were actually going to do a show, and we're going to deal with other topics that have come up, and we're probably going to need to do that. You know, that's another hour.
Not letting you share it.
Okay, that's another hour or two discussion that we would be having on the things that are going on with the SBC and the cover-ups that are going on. Maybe we can, I don't know, you know, get to that next Thursday unless we got something planned.
We have something planned next Thursday. Andrew has a guest he's bringing on, Nathaniel Jeanson from Answers in Genesis.
Oh, well, never mind. We need to do that. So we need to do that.
Yeah.
Somebody said Anthony time, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted, guys. I can't do Anthony time. Even though I will say this,
just tag team me. I'll take over.
I have not seen Anthony in a show. We haven't done a show together, a full show. I don't know how many months it's been. It's probably been 4 or 5 months.
Maybe longer.
Maybe longer. It's been a long time. And I was wondering, like, where's he at? Where's he at? Because he's here and I'm not. I'm not. He's here. It's been back and forth. But, you know, I'll just tell you, you know, we are trying so hard to produce content that will glorify God and will help the body of Christ. And I can't say it enough. If you like what we're doing, please share it, because people are, I'm not choking up. I'm not choking up, but no, seriously, I love my brother. Anthony knows how I feel about him. Josiah knows, you know, John knows, you know, Justin, everybody knows how I feel about him.
He has a name?
Yes.
I thought it was just like Cluck Commander, Chicken Man. I mean,
yeah. Well, see, I know him. I know John really well, and so, you know, so I know him right. Well, so I can just throw it in there, just like that. But we just in like, how many time zones difference now? Is it five? But I mean, we try so hard to produce this content. If you guys want to, you know, want to support us, or if you have ideas. If there's anything like you want to know about, something that's pressing, if you guys will, you know, go to info What is it? What is it? Contact us. Contact us on Striving for Eternity. Strivingforeternity.org/support. That's support. That's not contact. There we go. Info@strivingforeternity.org. If you guys will contact us and let us know what you want to hear about, what's pressing to you, we are going to talk about the SBC. We're going to talk about what's-his-face that went out there and tried to force himself on the women. And I say what's-his-face because there's multiple ones. We had all that in the lineup to talk about, but it's just there's so much to talk about that we just don't have that much time. So,
yeah. If you want to share this video with Dallas Jenkins, if he's not watching, because he's probably not. But probably not. If you want to share this video with Dallas Jenkins, we'd be happy for him to see it. He's more than welcome to come on and try to defend himself.
Well, and I want to point out one thing, too. At no point in time did we say that he's not a Christian. I don't know if he is or not. But what I do know is he is joining together. What fellowship does light have with darkness? What accord does Christ have with Belial? What do we have to do with a believer with a non-believer? And our admonition is not to say he's not a Christian, but our admonition is to say that false cults like the LDS is not Christian. So don't join with them. Don't get deceived by them.
Yeah. And that's a good point, Justin, because that you're right. We can't read his heart. All we can say is that he has avoided continuously answering very basic questions about Christian doctrine and Mormon doctrine. And it seems like he's purposefully avoided it with the way that he's gone on these nonsensical rants.
Yeah.
And so Dallas Jenkins, that's where you're to be held accountable is you need to, if you truly are a Christian, you're going to put God above man. You're going to put God above your business and about the money that you're going to make and recognize that, you know what, you may upset the Mormons. But hopefully many will get saved through this, even if you don't make as many bucks because it's not being promoted by the Mormons.
Yeah. And that's the whole issue. I mean, guys, if you have the wrong Jesus and the wrong starting point, you have the wrong middle and the wrong end. Guys, Trisha Burton, she came up and I do not know Trisha. I hope to get to know her and get to hear her story. That she came out from five generations of the LDS. She's the one been affirming that what we're saying is true. And she came out because she heard the gospel. Guys, the problem is you will not hear the gospel in an occult. You won't hear the truth that Jesus Christ, eternally God, became man and came to this world because we are sinners, to save sinners and to restore the earth back to what it was before the before the fall. He came to not only save our souls, but he's going to restore the Davidic throne and the kingdom restoration. We believe in all of that. Somebody asked earlier that if a dispensational premillennial, what is there a problem with that? Well, everybody in this group that you've seen so far, we're all dispensational premillennial. There's only one, non-dispensational heretic that's out there. That's Drew Vonita. I'm just kidding. He's not dearly loved, brother. But
he'll grow in his understanding one day.
He'll get there, and if he doesn't, when the rapture happens, and he's going to be up there, we'll be like, "Told you so," and he's going to be like, "Oh, cool, man, this is great."
All my amillennial friends say that they reserve the right to change your mind midair, and I say that's fine.
I love that. Yeah, and guys, now think about this. The reason we can play around on those things is because we have the solid essentials correct. Okay, yep. Trisha would have never come out of Mormonism. Out of the false converts would have never come out of false conversion, false believers, the ones in Roman Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Reiki and all these other false, things would never come out if they did not hear the truth from you. Dallas Jenkins, you can't just sit there and say, "Oh, I have LDS brothers and sisters." No, you don't. If they believe what we've talked about tonight, they're not brothers and sisters in Christ, and they need to hear the truth from you.
Yeah, that's right.
Drew, I just love you to all the pieces. I have no problem changing my mind in midair. Oh, good. Man. Great, brother. Okay, guys, you got anything else?
No, I think we've covered this as well as we could in the time we had. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't have 30 more questions.
Look, I have pages up on my laptop. If anyone wonders why I'm looking down at times, I have my laptop right in front of my big computer so that I can go through everything. I got tons of notes here that haven't been touched. That's okay.
Melissa, well, what you need to do is you put them in a Word doc and then we'll attach it to this. I said,
okay.
Melissa says it's all going to pan out in the end. That's right. So she's a pan millennialist.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, guys. Yeah. If you liked what we did, give us a review at lovethepodcast.com/apologeticslive. Support us. We'll be seeing you next Thursday. And share everything we've got, all our content, with as many people as you can. And thank you so much for being here with us. God bless.
God bless.
Bless you.
Good night.